Podcast 106, Jesus Manifesto. The Gospel reading for today's podcast is Luke chapter 4, verses 14 to 21. Continuing on from last week, we are thinking about what is the purpose of the church. Reflecting on this topic, it's worth paying attention to what Jesus defined as his mission and purpose. It makes sense that when Jesus talks about what he came on earth to do, the church should be aligned with his mission and purpose. And some commentators call the passage that is the gospel reading for today, Jesus' Manifesto. What do you understand the word manifesto to mean? Most often we think of documents such as the Communist Manifesto, written by Marx and Engels. The Treaty of Waitangi might be called the founding document or manifesto of Aotearoa New Zealand. And I guess we sometimes all have our own words that we live by, like a fridge magnet or a bumper sticker. I've got a fridge magnet that says, "I'd be unstoppable if only I could get started." And the Anglican Church, I think, has its own manifesto, the 39 Articles. These are a brief and condensed statement of what Anglican Christians believe and teach. These carefully summarized statements of biblical theology were compiled by the English reformers Thomas Cranmer and Joseph Ridley as a means to guard and guide our identity in Christ. And the parish has a kind of manifesto in its introductory booklet. It explains our purpose, values, and some of our theology. So in Luke's account of the life of Jesus, immediately after Jesus is baptized by John, he is then tempted by the devil in the wilderness. Following this test, he begins his ministry back in the Galilee region, preaching and teaching in the synagogues, and he is universally acclaimed and praised. And then he returns back to his hometown of Nazareth. Probably at this point, his ministry is based in Capernaum, and he's no longer living in Nazareth as his kind of place where he stays. And the passage we are studying today represents Jesus' manifesto, and it could be called programmatic in nature. That is, Jesus sets out his mission and purpose by defining his ministry in terms of the prophecy of Isaiah, found in Isaiah 61 verses 1 to 2 and 58 verse 6. This passage is put out front and centre by Luke as the first public act of Jesus' ministry, unlike Mark, who puts this event much later in his gospel. The biblical scholar Robert Alter notes that the first recorded speech of a person in the gospels has an important and defining force in the characterization of the person who makes it. Jesus is in his hometown, Nazareth, reading the scripture as he is entitled to do as a circumcised Jewish male, at the regular Shabbat service in the synagogue, and doubtless he had done this duty many times before, in the company of this community who knew him. Some points to make from an initial reading of the passage include these. Firstly, Jesus is implicitly identified here as God's anointed one, the Messiah. Secondly, Jesus' primary messianic duty is the work of liberation, good news for the poor, the blind, the captives, and the oppressed. Thirdly, Jesus uses the quote from Isaiah to link himself to the work of the Old Testament prophets in their call for justice. And finally, Jesus declares that the message of God's salvation is open for everyone who God may call, including Gentiles, because there is no Jewish exclusivity in the list of the poor, the blind, the captives, and the oppressed. So what are some things that our church is doing that are congruent with Jesus' manifesto? Well, we support our local food banks and contribute food items or finance or both to these missions. We contribute financially and prayerfully to local and international mission that serves the poor in the palace, for example, the Anglican Board of Missions and Servants in Mission, Operation Christmas Child. An Anglican initiative that you may not be aware of is the work of the Family Centre Social Policy Research Unit, which is an Anglican organisation based in Lower Hutt. And this organisation provides accurate research-based data for issues such as child poverty in New Zealand, setting the levels for the living wage, and how bad or good inequality is in New Zealand. So Jesus stands up in the synagogue at Nazareth and declares his manifesto. This manifesto is universal, not just focused on religious Jewish people. Jesus goes to the Jews first, but his mission is to the whole world, Jews and Gentiles. His purpose and mission in terms of proclaiming good news and freedom for the prisoners, giving sight to the blind, and setting the oppressed free. All of these are outward facing, not inward facing. And as I said last week, one of the dangers of the church today, including this parish at this time, is that we turn our focus inward and become absorbed in our own internal issues and problems. Yet what Jesus' manifesto points us to is that the church's major concern is the world, and his disciples are partners with Jesus in reaching out to the world. And as we seek to find this direction that God is calling us to, or to reaffirm it, let's be kind to one another, even if we disagree on stuff. As we move forward into this new time and circumstances as a community of faith, let's just remember it's not all about us. Jesus calls us to be his servants in a hurting world, as well as looking after each other and supporting each other in our fellowships. This is a both and, not an either or. We must balance our efforts to be a community of faith, which are important, with our mission to the world. Overwhelmingly, Jesus' manifesto is a mission to the world.